And I really don't know what to tell you, where to turn. Just turn somewhere in your Bible and I'll be by there directly. That's how in the world are we made to be overcomers? How to overcome the world. I'm really stuck on this morning's message. I'll tell you, I can't get it off my mind. I hope you'll consider all those things. You know, and really consider the influence that you're allowing on your mind. Who do you listen to? Who do you take counsel from? Who do you allow to talk to you and put stuff in your mind and influence your thinking? Who do you allow to teach you things and to point you in this world, in this situation? Everybody's hot. You know, this situation we're in now, this ungodly world, and everything the way it is, and everybody's got an answer somewhere, you know. Everybody's got an opinion. And we sit around and talk about it all afternoon, and you know, all these talk guys on the radio and the TV that everybody listens to so much, here's what I've come to conclude. They're all in it for the money. I think they're all doing just like these prosperity preachers. They're just working to a different clientele, you know, and so what we talk about, you got every level of, you got every kind that'll appeal to a certain segment of the people. You got real crazies, and then you got some that's not so crazy, but they still appeal to all the people who are worried about what's going on and looking for answers. Right here is the answer, right here. We're here to give, not to take. We got something to give. We don't have to listen to them. They need to listen to us. Amen. If you know the Word of God and you know God, you've got some answers. You know what this deal's headed. You know where it's headed. We don't know exactly what's going to happen and when it's going to happen, but we know how it ends. And we've got something to give. We're the salt of the earth. We're not here to take from this wicked world their counsel, their wisdom, their advice. Look for answers and try to elect them to help us out of this situation. How ridiculous to think that any of them is going to do that. God is the only one that's going to deliver us from this mess if there's any deliverance to be had. And as long as we won't turn to Him, as long as we keep looking to men and people and women to help us, we ain't going to get no help. We're going to the bottom. And the bottom's within sight right now, let me tell you. So, it starts in the church houses with God's people. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then God said what? Then will I hear from heaven and I will heal their land. I'll forgive their sin and heal their land. Yeah. That's the answer. And that's the answer for us here tonight. That's the answer for you. Everybody here tonight, each one. And one person makes a difference. Don't you ever think that one person don't. It's got to start somewhere. It's got to start with somebody who gives their life to God and decides they're going to live for God after God's ways, no matter what this world does around us. And I ain't listening to them no more. It's what I made up my mind about many, many years ago. I found out this world is full of foolishness. Yeah. And so, anyway, I hope you'll think about those things and quit letting them talk to you. All right, 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. And if you want to just write them down, you're not going to be able to follow me through all these verses here to start with. But listen to what the verses are saying. I'll give you my outline after church if you want them. But you're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, we were on that verse just a few weeks ago on Wednesday night. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? 1 John 5, verses 4 and 5, what I just read there. And he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So who's going to eat of the tree of life that's in the midst of the paradise of God? He that overcometh. Not he that has his name on a church roll in a Baptist church somewhere. Not he that's been baptized. Not he that's professed Christ as his Savior. That isn't what it says, is it? Who's going to eat of the tree of life? He, to him that overcometh. Overcometh what? The same world that I was just talking to you about this morning's message. If you don't resist, they overcome you. You're overcome of the world. It finally gets you. You may last a while, but they're going to get you. They're going to get your mind, and then they're going to get your life. And then they get your family. And it's all gone. You become one of them. They overcome you. You join the enemy of God, and you stand with them, and you identify with them. No, those kind of people are not going to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Worldly Christians ain't going to be there. Carnal Christians, they ain't going to heaven. They ain't going to be there. The world overcame them. Their flesh overcame them. They did not overcome. So you cannot show from the Word of God that they're going to be there. They have no assurance, no promise of being in heaven if the world has overcome them. Now, that's a hard pill to swallow, but that's the truth. It ain't so hard for me. I'm glad that heaven is going to be different than this world. I'm glad God's not going to just open the gates and let everything in. He ain't going to do it. To him that overcometh, and he that hath a ear to hear, he better hear that. That's what it says. Right. Revelation 2:11. Now, in Revelation 2:17, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. And will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Hidden manna. Jesus said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Do you have any of it? You ever had any of that? Not unless you've overcame. Not unless you're an overcomer. You don't have that hidden manna. You don't know what it is for God to sustain your soul and restore your soul and provide and give strength to your soul. You don't know what it is unless you are an overcomer. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 26. Is this just all a bunch of nonsense? Is this all just a wish list, or is this a reality? It's reality. It's true. Jesus is saying these things. It's in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Now, who's got his name in the book of life? He's not going to get it blotted out. Who was that person? He just said there. Him that overcometh, and he that overcometh, and him that overcometh. Over and over we read the same thing. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. I will not blot his book or his name out of the book of life. God has a book of life. Everybody that ever lived is in that book. But there's going to come a time when those names are going to be blotted out of that book. The names of the people who are lost. They're going to be cast into outer darkness and gone forever, separated forever from the universe, from God and everything, everybody else, all the righteous. They're going to be, and their names are going to be blotted out of the book of life as if they never lived. Jesus said he wasn't going to do that to anybody that was an overcomer. God marks the people who sigh and cry for the abominations done in the land. God knows whether you are one of His or you belong to this world. You can't love the world and love the Father. If you love this world, the love of the Father is not in you. If you are a friend of this world, and I don't mean to be kind to them, to entreat them to God, to be, benevolent to them. It ain't what it means. Be a friend, a comrade, like-minded with them. If you're like that, you're an enemy of God. Now, that's the way God counts it. I know everybody else don't. Everybody else thinks you can have it both. I've heard them say having the best of both worlds. Oh, baloney. We are not of this world if you're a child of God. You don't belong here. You don't speak their language. You are a stranger and a pilgrim passing through here. All of the saints, all of the people of God through all of the ages have confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Hebrews chapter 11. And they still do. We got a modern generation where we have this carnal Christian. We've got this worldly Christian. We've got people who can just be saved. You can accept the Lord as your Savior and not as your Lord. You can say, well, I want Him to save me and take me to heaven, but I ain't following Him and I ain't serving Him and I ain't going to church and I'm still going to do what I do. And they think they're going to heaven when they die. And multitudes of preachers will tell them, oh yeah, that's the way it is. Here's a preacher tonight telling you that ain't the way it is. You believe that junk, you're going to bust hell wide open. Mark it down. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I mean, the old man's got to die. The old man's dead. We mortify our members which are upon earth. We are crucified with Christ. We're born again of the Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit indwells us. And His life becomes our life. That's the way it is. And we become overcomers. We don't overcome the world in our own strength and our own power. We overcome the world because He lives in us. When we identify with Him, when we take His name, and we are called by His name, then He takes charge of us, responsibility of us. He gives us strength. We're kept by the power of God unto salvation. We don't just determine we're going to overcome. You determine that you're going to follow Jesus. Amen. You determine that He is going to be your Lord. Not just your ticket to heaven. He's the Lord of your life. Your Lord and Master. Your King. He owns you. You are His. Not my will, but thine be done. That's how you overcome. Yes, sir. Ain't no other way. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. It means he's there to stay. It's not a temporary thing. It's not a trial thing. He's there to stay. Fixed forever. And he shall go out no more, or go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God. Wow. He writes his name upon us. Mine. Yeah. And the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from God, and I will write upon him my new name. Revelation chapter 3, verse 12. Now, who's he going to do that for? Him that overcometh. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in His throne. Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. We can go on and on. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Revelation 21, verse 7. Getting close to the end of the book there. Now, who's going to inherit all things? Everybody that makes a profession of faith? No. You ain't going to hear this nowhere. I mean, you're going to go far and far before some other preacher is going to tell you what I'm telling you here tonight. And what am I telling you? I'm reading the scripture to you. Some woman this week got mad at me over the radio program, and she said, the thing I don't like about you is, and so offensive about you is, you don't back up what you say with scripture. I said, well, I've been preaching 35 years, and that's the first time anybody's ever said that to me. I said, you obviously don't listen very much. I've read to you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and I'm fixing to read another 12 verses. Every verse talks about being an overcomer, and the promises are to an overcomer. And people still rear up and say, that ain't the way it is. I mean, if you say you're saved, you're saved. You won't allow anybody to question anybody's salvation, because no matter how wicked they're living, no matter how much the world's got them, you still want to believe they're saved and going to heaven. When the Bible is very clear about it. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. 1 John 3:6. Habitual practicing sinners are not going to heaven. I don't care if they've been baptized 100 times. I don't care if every Baptist preacher in the state of Missouri would stake their reputation on their salvation. They're not saved. Don't matter if you say amen or not. That's the truth. Now, here we're enabled to, how are we enabled to overcome the world? That's what I want to ask here tonight. Well, it's not by some mysterious injection or infusion of power. It seemed to me like a lot of people are waiting on it. I talk to people all the time that are, they're halted. They want to believe, but they're waiting on something. I don't know what they're waiting on. You know, what are you waiting on if you're not saved here tonight? What are you waiting on? You waiting on God to send some kind of charge through your body, or give you some kind of emotional experience, or what is it that you're waiting on for him to do? Here's how God saves people. The Word of God is preached, and the Spirit of God bears it to your heart. The Spirit of God quickens the Word of God, and it speaks to your soul, and God makes it real to you. And you know that's God's truth. All right, now it's up to you. The ball's in your court. God ain't going to do nothing else. It's by the Word of God and His Spirit and the Father drawing you. And that's it. God ain't going to do nothing special for you so that you can understand more than anybody else ever understood. Everybody that's ever been saved from the beginning of time has been saved just like this, by believing God. That's it. That's right. That ain't nothing more to it. You give it up. You cast your lot with God. You cast it all in with Him. You commit yourself. You commit your way to the Lord, and what did I read this morning? Thy thoughts will be established. I talk to people all the time, well, I just don't understand. There's some things I don't understand. Big deal. I didn't understand everything. Nobody else here understood everything when you got saved either. You don't have to understand everything. You won't understand everything. Just get in. Commit your way to the Lord. And then He'll reveal to you as you can take it and as you need it. A baby is born with nothing. What if they had to wait until they could talk and understand language and they could walk and feed themselves and everything before they'd be born? Boy, that'd be rough, wouldn't it? No, they're just born. And here they are. And people take care of them. People feed them and nurse them and watch over them and make sure they keep getting what they need and they get stronger and they grow and then they start understanding and then they start talking. Look out, Gary. That's when it gets interesting. But they do. And that's the way it is with a Christian too. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. You're born into God's family and you ain't got nothing. I mean, you have to be down to zero before God can do anything with you. I've told you this before, but God don't use stuff to make something out of. All that you see, this whole universe was not made of the things which are seen. God made it all out of nothing. And that's what God makes stuff out of, nothing. And so he can't make nothing out of me or you until we get down to nothing. We got to be zeroed out before God can do anything with us. And when you hit that point, then there you go. That's the starting place. Nothing. Zero. Zero of me. My opinions, my knowledge, what I think and what I feel and all that. Throw all that stuff to the wind. And get to the cross. And look to Jesus. And trust him. And then let him start giving you what you need. Understanding. Knowledge. Peace. Joy. Direction. Understanding. He'll give it to you. As you grow. And as you can understand and take. He will make you an overcomer. But as long as you are trying to do it on your own, the world is going to overcome you. You can't overcome the world without Jesus as your Lord. Can't do it. Just can't do it. You're going to have to put him in his rightful place. King. He's not a president or a prime minister. He's not a counselor for us. He is the King. The kingdom of God is within you. That's where the kingdom of God is. That's what he said now, isn't it? It's not like an earthly kingdom. The kingdom of God is within you. Well, what's within you? Your heart has to have, your heart has a throne, so to speak. Somebody rules over that, over your heart. And it is either you or it is either Jesus. It's either you or Jesus. Now, if you're the king, he's not. And you have to get off of the throne before he will get on it. Jesus is not our co-pilot. He's not going to be that either. He will not be our co-pilot. He's the pilot or he's nothing. We don't run everything with him just as our helper. No, he's the Lord. He's the King. We submit to him. And that's how we overcome. Otherwise, we are overcome by the world. It's not some mysterious thing that happens to us. That's a stumbling block that many stumble at. They're waiting on something that ain't never going to happen. The Word of God, the Spirit of God, and faith in your heart, that's what brings salvation. That's how it happens. And there ain't no other way. God, that, you know, everybody wants to believe in this spook and booger stuff and these feelings. And, oh, that feeling, I've heard people talk about it. It hit me right in the top of the head and went all the way down my back. And I felt it hit the floor as it went out of my feet. Oh, it had to be God. God don't do stuff like that. You're flirting with devils is what you're doing. The Spirit of God. And God does not save people like that. He don't teach people things like that. That's wicked, devilish nonsense. Amen. They're expecting and waiting on something to be given them besides Christ to help them overcome their sin in the world. If Jesus can't help you, nothing else can. If Jesus is not enough for you, he is all in all. He's everything. He's bound. All the riches of wisdom and understanding and knowledge are in him. In him are all things. Everything we can have, it's all wrapped up in him. And if he is not enough for you to get you out of your sin and your selfishness and to overcome this world, then there ain't nothing else to give you, offer you. There's nothing else to tell you about. I don't have nothing else to tell you about. Neither does anybody else. He's the answer. He's the final answer for everything. And if he ain't good enough for you, then there ain't nothing for you. That's right. Ain't no psychologist. Ain't no earthly wisdom. Ain't none of that junk going to pull you through. But he can do anything with anybody, and he can bring them through and make you an overcomer. God doesn't take away our sinful habits. You give them up for him. The Holy Spirit doesn't give you power to do that. That's not what the Bible says. Show me where the Bible says that. That the Spirit of God, or that God gives you power to do all that. No, sir. It's not in there. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you to overcome sin. Is that what it says? To overcome the world, or to... Is there any kind of power going to come up? What's that power for that it says specifically? All right, I'll read it to you. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you to be witnesses. And ye shall be witnesses of me. That's what the power is for. To make our witness have some power to it. Some life, some influence. Never is the power given to overcome our sin as far as giving up our sin. And what I'm saying to you there is God don't take the cigarettes out of your pocket. He don't take the chaw out of your mouth. He don't take the bottle of booze out of your hand. He don't take the drugs away from you. God don't do that. You got to do what every other person in all of human history has done through all the ages. You got to come to an altar and you got to put it on that altar and you got to burn it up. Right. And say, I'm done with it. Yep. You got to give it up. And you can do that when you're looking to Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Moses endured all that he had to endure by seeing him who's invisible. He was good enough for Moses to get through all of his hard life and all of his hard adversity that he had to deal with. And if he's good enough for Moses, and if he's good enough for all the rest of them through history, then he's good enough for me. He can get me through my little life and through my little problems. And I can, as long as I'm looking to him, ain't no sin got a hold of me that I can't turn loose of. I can't lay down for him. I can do it for him. I mean, after all, when I look at what he's done for me, it makes me look pretty sorry to hang on and cling to my sin. Yes, sir. No, I can lay it down. That's how it happens, folks. It's how you become an overcomer. You look to him. God doesn't take it away. Because they're waiting on some experience or infusion of power. They when people are doing that, they don't put forth real effort to give up the things that are hindering them with God. Now see, we're talking about two different things here. Giving up your sin is not overcoming the world. There's a difference here. And you need to understand that. We must turn from our sin in order to come to Christ. Now, I don't care what anybody wants to say. You can call it works all you want to. Ain't nowhere in the Bible, ain't no such a thing as somebody coming to Christ with their sin in him and saying, Christ dealt with every person who came to him about their particular sin. He put his finger right on it. He's always done it that way. He still does it that way. And I believe that that's what goes on in churches like this. When the preacher's preaching the Word of God and the Spirit of God is bearing witness and God is dealing with people who are lost about their soul, I guarantee you that the lost person sitting back there in the pew has got a particular sin right in front of their face. And it's that they can't turn loose of, that they don't want to turn loose. If I get saved, I can't do that. If I get saved, I'll have to give that up. And I can't do it. I don't want to do it. Yep. You got to get past that. You ain't overcoming the world there. That ain't the world. That's your sin. The world is what we were talking about this morning. The influence of this world, system, everything, all the wisdom of the world, all their philosophies and all their opinions and all their foolish, false conclusions they've come to with working from lies, trying to convince you to be against God and for evil. That's what it's all about. All of it's about, it's all about corrupting your mind so that you'll call evil good and good evil. And that you'll call God bad and the world good. Sinners will be your comrades and God will be your enemy. That's what it's all designed to do. You got to overcome that. You got to get to the place where that stops affecting you. I know people that I've known for 25 years and they are still wrestling and struggling with that right there. They cannot get settled in their soul that they're saved. They want to pretend and they'll get all excited and worked up and for a little while and they're just like this. Just like riding a roller coaster in their spiritual life and in their emotions. They're happy about being saved and they're saying, boy, they love the Lord and talk about Bible verses and they want to... And the next thing you know, boy, their chins are dragging the ground and they're just whooped out. I mean, again, they're all discouraged and disillusioned again because all the church people and they don't understand some things. And if God's really what He's supposed to be, then how come this is happening to them or me or whatever? There's always something that God's failed them about. And they just go back to it again and back to it again. Or something else that God's failed them about. Or failed somebody else about it. God's always on trial with them. You ain't overcome the world. Nope. Somebody that overcomes the world quits all that stuff. And God's right. It don't matter what happens. Though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. Job overcame the world. Yes, he did. That's why God could let the devil loose on him. The devil wasn't going to win. God knew it. The devil ain't going to whoop Job out. He's an overcomer. Wonder if he knows that about us? You tonight. Well, I mean, does God know that you are an overcomer? Does He know what you're going to do? Ain't it good to know people that you can count on? And you can bank your life on them. You know what they're going to do. I mean, you know what they are, and they ain't going to crawfish on you. That's the kind of people we want in our life, ain't it? That's the kind of people that make the difference in our life. We better have somebody that don't change. We better have somebody in our life that is steady. And you got to get to the place where you trust God. That way. He's steady. And if you get your trust in God that He's steady, you're going to be steady. You'll quit this falling in and out. You'll quit this being for and then against and up and down and for people one day and against them the next day. I mean, steady. Even. That's what an overcomer is like. You can count on them. God can count on them. Faithfulness. It's required in a steward that a man be found faithful. Faithful. That means God must be able to count. You want to count on God, but can God count on you? This is a covenant deal. I mean, this is between us and God. We both promised this deal. I mean, if God's not going to leave me nor forsake me, then I am not going to leave God or forsake Him. In this wicked world. And Jesus said, if you won't confess me in this wicked and adulterous generation, I won't confess you before the Father. See, the same thing God expects from us. And that's what an overcomer is. He's somebody that's done made up his mind. He's going to stand for God. It doesn't matter what happens. And he does it. Looking to Jesus. There's no power in a witness that hasn't begun to overcome the world. So ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you'll be witnesses unto me. Now let me hurry up here. We're enabled to overcome all things by grace through faith in Christ. Just like we're saved, that's how we live. We walk by faith, not by sight. We're saved by grace through faith. And that's how we overcome. The same grace that saves us is what teaches us to deny ungodliness and to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present evil world. The grace of God that bringeth salvation teacheth us that. Titus chapter 2. Now, so it's the same way we get saved is the same way we live. People got this idea that salvation is this little ritual you go through. You pray this prayer and you're saved. That's what it is. And then you get baptized and that seals it. And deal. Done deal. Done deal. I'm contracted to God. No, salvation is a birth. It's a spiritual birth. And you begin from the moment you're born to walk with God. It is a journey. And salvation, when you make your choice, when you cast it all in with Jesus, when you step over the line and say, I'm in. I'm with Him and I won't forsake Him. When you say, I do to Jesus, then you begin your relationship with Him. And it's a journey. And you go from there. It's not just a one-time thing, a ritual, a rit that you go through and you're saved and that's it. And you can go back to living in the world, doing whatever you do and living your life, you know. That's the way most people seem to look at it. But I'm telling you, it's not that way. It's the beginning of a new life, a new walk. And it's a journey that you're on. And you start growing. And you start traveling on this journey with Jesus as your constant guide and companion. He's with you. He don't leave you nor forsake you. And you learn and you grow and you mature and you get and you grow in grace and understanding and knowledge. Yeah. And it's wonderful. It is wonderful. There's an old song, sweeter gets the journey every day. That's the way it is. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. Oh yeah, I've got much more to rejoice and be happy and run around the church for tonight than I did 35, almost 40 years ago. Yes, much more. I'm much more committed, much more determined, much more satisfied and settled about it all than I was then. Than I was 20 years ago. Than I was 10 years ago. I mean, it gets better and better and better. And you get more sure and more sure and more sure as you go that you done made the right choice. And it makes overcoming not such a big deal. The world does not appeal to me. Does not. I don't think there's anything there to be had that's worth having. And the longer I go, the more so it gets that way. We're enabled to overcome things by grace. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That's a pretty good deal right there. Justified by faith. Peace with God. And we have access by faith into this grace. Always there. Trust God. There's always grace in time of need. He's always sufficient. He really is. He meets the need. Some of you may be thinking about dying and wondering how you're going to face it. Well, if you really are one of God's children, I guarantee you that He will be there when that moment arrives. And you'll be able to die just like Patrick Henry. He called his infidel doctor in and when he was dying and the doctor said, what can I do for you? And he said, nothing. He said, I just wanted you to see how a Christian dies. Now that's confidence. Don't you want to get to that hour that way? Don't you want to be able to sing, my hardest trials now are past. My triumph has begun. Yeah. That's grace that you have access to by faith. Because you trusted Him a long time ago. Man, this thing settled a long time ago. I made up my mind which direction I'm going. I made up my mind who I belong to, what my life's about. And so when you get there, I guarantee you, He will be faithful and He'll be there to welcome you right across the divide. You know, oh, come angel band. Come and round me stand. Yeah. Bear me away on your snowy wings. Well, I don't know if that's exactly how it happens, but it happens sort of like that. Grace is there. There's too many testimonies and too much evidence of the saints of God dying. God sweetly bears them over, and the grace of God is there. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Romans chapter 5, verse 9 and 11. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Y'all realize that we don't understand it all this side, on this side? We talk about salvation and we talk about how wonderful it is, and we don't even understand it all. It's ready to be revealed. When we get over, we're going to be amazed. I watch this little baby, and they're, you know, she got old enough, so they're giving her chocolate and they're giving her all kinds of stuff to taste of. And it always was a thrill with the kids, and it is still. All of you know what I'm talking about. The first time they taste something wonderful, you know, their eyes just light up. It's the first time. It's such a delight to them. And I've always thought about it, man, that's just what it's going to be. This sure is a world. It's going to be way more than that. That's just a little glimpse of what it's going to be like the first time you look upon heaven and upon what God has prepared for those that love Him. Beyond what you can imagine. It's never entered into the heart of man what God's prepared for them that love Him. But you're going to be happy with it. Yes, sir. Kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. It's ready. He's going to reveal it. Amen. All right. Now in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Romans chapter 8 and verse 37. That's within a page or two of that Romans chapter 7, where we're all defeated and we're all sinners and we ain't do nothing right. And when we want to do good, we do bad and all that. That's within a page or two of this right here. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. By ourselves, in our fleshly power, in our human minds. No, through Him. Through Him that loved us. Many want to do away with faith as the power to overcome sin and wait on God to miraculously deliver them while they just sit passively waiting. You know, well, that's just the way it is. You know, I got this nature and that's the way I am. And God understands. You going to overcome that way? Who's going to overcome when you get that attitude? When you take that kind of understanding about it? Well, you're going to overcome. Ain't no point. Can't. Hopeless. To me, that's blasphemous. You're saying Jesus has no power. Jesus cannot deliver you from your sin. He did not deliver you from your sin. He cannot overcome the world. He did not overcome the world. He said, I overcame the world. He said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And then I read to you a while ago, because I overcame, you're going to overcome, He said. So I believe Jesus. I believe He overcame, and I believe because He did, we can. If we're looking to Him and following Him and trusting Him. Try to do it on our own, going to fail. Going to be overcome ourselves. But faith actively seeks and looks to Christ. And seeing Him who is invisible gives us the ability to go on and to stand. Oh, yes, it does. Just a little glimpse of Him. And that's what we got to get once in a while. We got to get a little glimpse of Him once in a while. You just got to. Or you can't make it. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. So we have a great cloud of witnesses. People that are watching us. People won't take that verse apart, but I'm telling you, that's what it says. We have so great a cloud of witnesses. And that's Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. You just came from Hebrews chapter 11. What was that talking about? What does Hebrews 11 talk about? All the heroes of the faith. It's the roll call of faith. It starts way back at Abraham, Abel, and up through all the way through, and talks about how that they all confessed that they were pilgrims and strangers. They weren't at home here on this world. Just sojourners, just on a journey, just passing through. And he said, wherefore, seeing we have so great a cloud of witnesses, who's talking about? Well, it's what Jesus was talking about when he said, he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God of the living, not of the God of the dead. He said, they're alive. Don't you think Abraham's dead? Don't you think Isaac's dead? Don't you think Jacob's dead? God talks about him and says, I'm the God of Abraham. Not dead. He's somewhere. God knows where he is. And that's the way it is with all these. They're not dead either. And without us, they could not be made perfect. The Bible says there in Hebrews chapter 11 at the very end. We're part of this deal. We are part of a big deal. And we all have our little place in this program of God, this plan of God, all this thing that's playing out in the earth and humanity over the... We're in the last days of it. We're in the last part of it. And all of us have a place and a part. And they are looking on us. They're watching us. Well, that's kind of weird. I don't know how much they know, how much they can see. I don't think, really, that they can look down here and see everything that's going on. I don't believe that, but we've got a cloud of witnesses, all these people that lived their life faithful, and they toughed it through. Some of them were sawn in sunder. Some of them were stoned with stones. They were killed and chased around, and they dwelt in caves and dens of the earth, destitute and afflicted. And God said, of whom the world was not worthy. And you're part of this deal, that without us, they could not be made perfect. And wherefore, seeing we have so great a cloud of witnesses. That's how you overcome. You realize this is not just about me. It's not just about my life. It's not just about my struggle. It's not just about my problems. Man, I belong to the army of God, and I've got to do my duty. I've got to do my part, and I will not go AWOL. And I won't abandon everybody else. I ain't going to jump ship when all these others toughed it out and suffered way more than I have. Oh man, yes sir. Grace is his influence upon us. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. So we're not going to overcome unless we abide in Christ. I am the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. John chapter 15, verse 4 and 5. It's the influence of his presence. Now listen to me real quick, and I'll hurry up here. The Holy Spirit indwells us, and he constantly reminds us of his presence. The presence of the lawgiver and the judge is a strong deterrent against crime. You're not going to rob a store if the policeman standing there with his gun at the door. You're just not going to do that. You're going to say, well, I believe I'll try somewhere else, ain't you? If you're a robber and a thief. That's right. The presence of the lawgiver is a deterrent to crime. The presence of God in your body is a deterrent to you living in sin. Don't tell me it ain't. If God dwells in you, you're gonna back off. You ain't going to be freewheeling in sin. You ain't going to be wallowing in the mire if God lives in you. You tell me God lives in you and you're saved and you can live like this world? You're a liar. Now, the Bible says that. God ain't in you. You can't do that in His presence. People go to bars and whorehouses and everything else and say they're saved. No, they can't. Can't do that. You drag the Holy Ghost in those places with you? I don't believe that junk. The presence of the lawgiver and the judge. Presence of the Holy Ghost in you is a very big deterrent to sin. How can you do it when you know He's looking? How can you know do it when you know He's right here with you? The only way you can do it is to ignore Him, forget Him, act like He's not there. I don't know how you do that if He's really there. No, I don't see that. Now, the presence of one most beloved is a stronger deterrent than that against crime. How could you do that? How could you sin against your husband or your wife if you knew they were watching you? How could you do something awful if you knew your children were watching you? Wouldn't that make you stop and think? How can you say, you know, Jesus loves me, and He died for me, and He bled for me, and do it right in front of Him anyway? How can you do that? You see how you are an overcomer? You overcome because Jesus is right there. You overcome by looking to Him, by walking with Him, by having a reality in your salvation, your life, of the presence of God. Because that's the way it is. When you get saved, the Spirit of God, your body is the temple of the Spirit of God. He moves in and He lives there. That's right. You're a tabernacle. You move around, but you don't move around and leave God behind. When they moved the tabernacle in the wilderness, God went with it. They didn't move and leave God behind. Whoops, we forgot God. No, that ain't the way it is. We moved the tabernacle, now God's not with us. The tabernacle wasn't God. God dwelt in the tabernacle. The presence of God. Presence of God dwells in us if we're saved. The influence of His example. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. He triumphed over them. Powers and principalities of this world. He triumphed over them. They nailed Him on a cross and put Him in a grave. And He come out of the grave. I mean, that's triumph. They couldn't kill Him and keep Him dead. They killed Him and He overcame death. He triumphed over them openly. Why don't you just get behind Him? He's the forerunner. He blazed the trail for us. All we must do is follow Him. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So He's the captain of our salvation. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, for it became Him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. He's the forerunner. He's the captain of our salvation. He's our Prince and our Savior. Him hath God exalted with His right hand to be a Prince and a Savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Acts chapter 5, verse 31. He's a Prince. He's a King. He's the Lord. He's the Savior. He's our Captain. He's the one we look to. He's going to be the Judge when it's all over too. All power is given unto Him in heaven and in earth. Think about that. All power. I believe since He is my Lord and my King, and He said He would never leave me nor forsake me, and that He would sustain me and be with me always, even unto the end of the world, I believe I can overcome as long as I'm looking to Him. As long as I know that He ain't dead, as long as I know He ain't abandoned ship and He ain't going to, then I can make it. I can make it through this life in spite of the persecution, in spite of all the discouragement, in spite of the people who will not listen or come with me. I can make it because He's still out in front of me. I'm still looking to Him. I want to read one more scripture to you, one more little piece of scripture, and then I'll quit. As ye have therefore, now I'm talking about how you overcome. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. How'd you get saved? Well, just keep walking that way. Did you believe to get saved? Then keep believing. You don't believe one time. It's not a one-time thing that you do. You start believing and you believe from then on.
That's right.
That's where security comes in. People that think that, well, you believing in the Lord Jesus Christ is just an act that you do and it's done and that's it. Then you can go on. They think you can lose it. You can get it back. You can do whatever. Well, salvation is not like that. You start believing and you keep believing. You don't stop and start. I believe. I really believe. I trust Him. And He's never done anything yet to cause me to not trust Him or to doubt Him. So why should I not trust Him still? Yeah. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Corrupt your mind. See? After the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Beware of those things. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. In whom? You hear how this keeps referring to Him and how that in Him, and by Him, and through Him, and I mean, it's all about Him, isn't it? Our life should be wrapped up in Him. Yes, sir. In whom also ye are circumcised, with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, where also ye are risen with Him through the faith of this operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. And so, who are the promises to those who overcome? And who are those that overcome? They're the ones who really trust Christ. Salvation is being married to Christ. He's the bridegroom. We're the bride. Make your home a lot happier place if you just understand that and apply it. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husband in all things, as unto the Lord. You can overcome. Amen. Let's stand. You can be an overcomer. But there's only one way. And when we are overcomers, we've got nothing to boast about. We didn't overcome this world because we manned up to the job and we did it. No, ain't nobody. No, we're going to cast our crowns at His feet. Because He's worthy. We're not worthy. Anything that happens Anything we accomplish, it's because of Him. He said, without me, you can do nothing. You can't overcome. You can't accomplish nothing. You can't even really overcome yourself until He is brought into the picture and put in the rightful place in your life where He belongs. And then everything straightens itself out. Yes, it does. Can you understand that? I mean, that's the way it is, folks. Overcome. Father, thank you for the Word of God, and thank you for the truths, Lord, that we look at here, and thank you that it's this way. And Lord, thank you for the promises and the things that we have to look forward to and the light that's in the future for us who are your children. We're looking up out of the darkness right now. It's a dark world that we're living in and walking in. And Lord, we can feel it just like a dark cloud when the storm approaches. We can just feel this spiritual evil around us everywhere. And Lord, we need you. In this hour, we need you to be real to us and close to us. And I pray, Lord, that each one here tonight would find that walk with you where it's a reality and not just imagination or a religion that they practice, but a real walk with a real Savior who's alive and going to bring us through. Help us, Lord, this week to be a witness for you and a blessing to other people. Bless our church. Bless these folks working hearts and lives. And Lord, the folks here tonight that maybe not saved, I pray you would open their understanding, put light into their souls, and Lord, bring them out of where they're at into the light that they can see. And Lord, that they'd surrender whatever it is that's in the way. I pray they'd throw it aside and get in. Lord, help them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.